The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
It is that time again. Thank you for joining us today on Afternoons with Mike. I am on the line with a young lady from the great state of Oregon, and I have on the line Tara Sun. She is a podcaster. She is also a Bible lover and a teacher of the word to women. She has a women's ministry called Tara Sun Ministries, and her podcast is called Truth Talks with Tara. I just love that. Welcome, Tara.
Thank you so much. It's such an honor to be here this morning. Your energy and excitement for the Lord is just really encouraging. So thanks for having me.
Well, it is going to be a great time. Now, you know, I have, before we began recording this, I was telling you that my daughter lived out there in Oregon in the Portland area. Now, I understand you're outside of the capital of Oregon, which is Salem, in a small area up there. And I know that is one of the most beautiful areas of the world, isn't it?
It really is. Oregon, the West Coast gets a funny rep sometimes, but I was just, before we recorded, we were just talking about how gorgeous it is. Like, if you love anything outdoorsy, even if you don't, we have the mountains, the beach, the snow, literally everything. It's just gorgeous. And I think anyone who always comes through here is surprised. I've done some traveling in Midwest and, in the South, and it's gorgeous over there. But I'm like, man, it's just so green and it's just so fun out here.
Yeah, you have it all out there from the standpoint of weather. You can be in snow one day
and
warm down in the city the next day, or even the same day for that matter.
I know. It's so bipolar. Like, yesterday was like 85 and muggy, and then today it was sprinkling this morning on my walk with my dog. And I'm like, I don't know what's happening.
Now, you get a lot of rain in Oregon.
We do, which I love. Some people don't love, but I think it's great. I think that's why it's so green over here. But if you like that cozy rain, we usually get rain anywhere. I mean, really any time of the year. Summer's pretty dry, but if you like the rain, if you like the coziness, this is a good place to land.
Well, my wife and I celebrated our 40th a couple of years ago. We just celebrated our 45. So it's been 5 years since I've been there. We just celebrated our 45th anniversary. But in September...
Wow.
September 4th, 5 years ago, I tell you where we were exactly on that day, and that was Cannon Beach, which was outside, and that's an unusual place to go visit. Highly recommend it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the beaches are gorgeous. You will definitely get rain on your beach day, which is not usual, but it's beautiful. Kind of that stormy kind of beautiful.
And the day we were there in September, it was quite cool. But that didn't stop people from being in the water. We didn't go in the water.
It's freezing. It's so freezing. I guess those are the diehards, you know?
Yeah.
I got to hand it to them.
Well, Tara, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you come to know the Lord? You grew up, obviously, in that area. So tell us about your relationship with God. Were your family believers?
Yeah. So just a quick rundown of my story. When I was 6 months old, both my brother and I, not at the same time, but my brother and I are both adopted from South Korea. So we are adoptees. And so when we were little, my parents had some fertility issues, and it was God's way of giving them a family. So they found two babies in need of homes. And so I was adopted at a young age and brought to Oregon here. Both my parents grew up in just awesome, just God-fearing families. And so that's kind of really the foundation I've had, which I'm so thankful for. But I think anyone who grows up knowing the Lord from a young age can testify that there was a lot of my life was coasting. A lot of my life was just kind of riding on my parents' faith and not really making it my own and making it personal. So I've known the Lord since I was little, but it really wasn't until I want to say maybe high school, maybe middle of high school, maybe a little under 10 years ago that I really kind of, through just the trials of life and other things, just really got to know the Lord on a personal level. So that's all been a blessing, obviously, but But been grown up in an awesome community ever since I was young. So I'm thankful for that.
Oh, that is wonderful. Now, I almost chuckled inwardly when I heard you say that, because you said high school. And that's a kind of a common thing for people who grow up in a Christian home to, you know, be a little bit later on, maybe in their upper teens or maybe even early 20s, before that personal relationship. But what caused me to chuckle was you said high school, middle of high school, about 10 years ago. And I'm thinking, oh, you're a young person, all right. This year in 2021, my high school graduating class celebrates 50 years.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
It's crazy.
I love that. You know, honestly, like for me, when I said 10 years, I'm like, oh, that's kind of weird. I mean, it's a little less than, but I'm like, well, that's still kind of weird.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you probably are thinking you're ready for Medicare yourself, but not.
Yeah,
you're not.
No.
But trust me, you're not. You've got a long way to go. That's great.
That's awesome.
So what were your high school years like as a believer, someone who's now coming face to face grips with a personal relationship, not just knowing the God that your mom and dad serve, but now as a young lady and you're finding your own way in God? What was that like for you?
Yeah, that's an amazing question. You know, something unique about my story, which I think a lot of people can relate no matter how old they are, but unique to my story was that when I was about 13 or 14, I was diagnosed with a chronic illness called fibromyalgia, which is pretty common actually in older women. So it's kind of surprising. It just kind of randomly came about when I was younger through stress and some other viruses I got. And I was diagnosed with this chronic illness smack dab in the middle of my first year of high school. And so through those 4 years of high school, through being diagnosed with this illness, having to drop out of school because I was so sick for the first couple of years, and just kind of learning to live life just day to day with this major inability, physical inability. And so that is when I think about, you know, my life, but specifically we're talking about high school here, that's probably what I think of, because the Lord really shaped my dependence on Him through this area of physical inability, because I didn't have any strength. I didn't have, I just didn't know, you know, this is the whole, like my world was flipped upside down. And so it was just reevaluating how to do life again. And it was at this, what I thought the peak of my life was, right? You should be going out, you know, hanging out with friends, getting excited about college and career. You know, they prepare you that for high school. But then instead, God was really breaking me in a really good way, you know, just to really shift my priorities. And God was like, I'm going to break you of your self-sufficiency and remind you that you need to be wholly dependent. And so that was in itself an amazing blessing, because the Lord and I, although we had a lot of screaming matches, I was in a pretty bad place, but He really used that to just draw me closer to Him.
How did you get out of all that weakness and that initial condition?
Yeah. So I actually still have it till this day. I still have this chronic illness. It might be with me for the rest of my life, but just through just skilled doctors and a lot of prayer and a lot of just mentally pushing myself to get back into routines and stuff. The Lord just really helped me get over that, because I also had a lot of social anxiety because I had to miss a lot of school. And, you know, it's this weird tender time where you're like trying to figure out relationships and if you're in the in crowd and just all these things. Right. So just through a lot of physical therapy and just a lot of learning my identity in Christ, I really feel like that just it eased up, right? And then just over like these last 10 years, because I'll be 23 in, you know, next January, over these last 10 years, I kind of learned how to get a routine. And, you know, life's a little different. I'm not able to do as much, which is hard for me to accept sometimes. But that is something that the Lord has really ingrained in me. A lot of grace, a lot of rest in Him, and a lot of just stewarding the energy and time I do have, you know, for Him.
You know, Tara, when I think about troubles like this, obviously most of us think of Paul, who had himself something that he prayed that God would take it away. And in the will of the Lord, it was a chronic situation for him as well. And yet that did not stop him. And it doesn't seem like your condition has brought any stop at all to God's plan for your life.
Yeah, you know, it was one of those things that at first my parents and I, and, you know, if you know, think about if this was your child, you know, those listening, or just think about, you know, if your child had to go through something like this, you would probably mourn for them a little bit too, wondering what the future was going to look like for them, right? And I did too at first. And that has a lot to do with my story as well. It's just like, I, you know, I had this plan of going into medicine, and I had this idea, and I still wanted to do it even though I was sick, and the Lord really diverted me, but in an amazing way, knowing that, A, I can't realistically do this, but then also he had something a lot better for me to do for his kingdom, which is really cool. I mean, it was a lot of confusing times trying to figure out what the future looked like with this new inability, but God has really provided, so as he always does.
That's wonderful. And, you know, during that time, you really learn a new way to live, to trust the Lord. And that way is going to be with you no matter what happens, no matter what kind mm-hmm. of offsetting illness or whatever. Once you learn to trust God, then you can apply that to any phase or any situation you're going through.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree. Yeah.
So your schooling, now you have a wide range of interests just from looking at the bio that I was given. You like graphics. Were you always a designer?
You know, what's interesting is that it was always something I doodled. I drew. I would say I'm a pretty creative person. I grew up dancing. So I did ballet for like 14 years growing up, about 14, 15 years. I was always doodling and writing. So writing is another cool thing. I was writing stories. So I would say when you think about that, it's a little bit more of that creative bend. I wouldn't necessarily call it artistic, but over the last couple of years, God has really like kind of put that as like something that I enjoy to do, is to create graphics and to design as a way to channel just a fun hobby and interest, but also like I'd love to see how God has used that to encourage people, like draw people in. Like if I draw like a Bible verse or hand letter a Bible verse, and then we write a devotional on it, it's been a really cool way to just kind of draw people in, get their attention, and then really get them excited about God's word.
Oh, it's wonderful. And I think it is artistic. I think anyone's art that you're doing, it's a form of art for you, and you're mm-hmm. using that for the kingdom of God in such a cool way. And, you know, writing an hour, have you ever been published as a writer?
So actually, you know, I guess everyone's getting the exclusive scoop here. We're working on that right now, actually. So that's
wonderful.
I'm really excited about that. It's been something that has been in the works with some publishing houses for about a year. And so God's really moving things forward. We met some huge deadlines with my agent the other day. So we're going to see what God does. And if he wants to bring this through. But that was a huge goal when I was younger. But again, I wasn't in what I was doing now, but everyone who likes writing dreams of being published. But it was a really cool door open from the Lord like a year ago, because I'm like, I would love to be published. I would love to write a book. I just didn't know if anyone wanted it or if the Lord wanted it. And then he opened some doors and I'm like, okay, this is a clear sign just to move forward. So I'm excited.
Well, that's exciting. I'm looking forward to hearing how that goes. Once you get the writer's itch, it is something that you just got to do. It sounds like the Lord's opened those doors for you to get to do that.
Mm-hmm. It's really cool. Yeah.
Now, there's one other thing before we take a break we've got to talk about, and I knew I was going to like this young lady when I read this, because it's on your bio that you love a good cup of coffee. Now, you got to tell
me.
I got to hear about that one.
I mean, honestly, so it's funny. I grew up a little backstory. So I grew up, my dad and his brothers own about almost 100-acre farm here in the Oregon area, the Willamette Valley area we live in. And so my brother and I grew up working there every summer. It was really, really fun, worked with our cousins. And so my dad's been an avid coffee drinker since I was little. And so when we get up every morning at like 6 when we were teenagers to work. So I needed coffee. And so I started drinking coffee at a younger age. Not too young, don't worry, but at a younger age. And now I love me a good cup of coffee. I'm pretty plain, though. Just give me a good cup of coffee with my favorite thing, though, is a milk frother from Amazon. And you put your milk or your cream in there, and you froth that up with a little bit of vanilla. And it's literally like making your homemade like latte at
mm-hmm.
home.
Yeah.
And that's my little guilty pleasure. That's my favorite thing. Sip it while I'm having my time with the Lord and the Word. It's the best.
Yeah, I really love to be drinking coffee when I'm having my time with the Lord in the morning.
Yeah.
And you're reading the Word and you've got a cup. And there's just something, I believe, God-given about that. And I think that's...
Yes.
I love it. I think it's the will of the Lord, Tara.
I believe so. You know, He gives good gifts. I think that's one of them.
Well, I hope everyone listening that is not a coffee drinker will not think we're crazy but talking this way. But it is, in addition to being tasting good, it is a comfort that I love what you said. It is, at times for me as well, a guilty pleasure, especially when you stop at a really nice coffee shop and you walk in.
Yep.
You know, the thing I love about that is that when you walk in the door, I always think this way. When you walk in the door of a good coffee shop, you're immediately immersed not only in the decor of that coffee shop, but you are immersed in the aroma of those coffee beans. And if you like coffee, here's what I always think of. It fills the air, and I think that's the way God wants our lives to be with regards to our love for the Word of God and our love for... sharing the gospel, it should be like what fills the air of our lives. And I always think about that when I walk into a coffee shop. So maybe that will ruin you too now.
Oh, you know, honestly, just with COVID and everything, sometimes it's not as exciting to go to coffee shops because it's just kind of a hassle. But it's honestly my favorite thing to go and just study or write. And I mean, there's some really cute ones over here in Oregon, too. It's a very hipstery kind of area, so I think they're really cute. So.
Oh, yeah. You have a lot of coffee. I mean, Starbucks came from that whole northwest part.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of great coffee in Oregon to be had. That's no doubt about it. My guest today is Tara Sun. We're going to be talking about her podcast coming up in a moment. She is a podcaster, and she has one that's titled Truth Talks with Tara. Tara Sun, my guest on Afternoons with Mike. Don't go away. We'll be right back. On the line with Tara Sun. Tara lives in the Salem, Oregon area, outside of Salem. You know, a lot of people don't realize that Salem is the actual capital of Oregon. I think most people would guess Portland because Portland is so well known and so important, but Salem is the capital, and you're kind of out there in just the beautiful God's Country area.
Oh, absolutely. Like, we are in a perfect balance. I love it personally where we live because, you know, we're in the country. It's quiet. But, hey, you can drive anywhere you need to go. You're close to Salem, the capital, yes, and close to Portland if you want to go there, even though it's crazy right now. But I love it. It's a great place to live.
It is great. What kind of wildlife do you get to see regularly out there?
Oh my gosh, everything. Let's see here. I mean, we get a lot of deer, which I think it's funny when I've traveled, people like, you know, we'll see deer on the side of the road and they're like, oh my gosh, we have to stop and take a picture. And I'm like, I guess I'm used to these things. But a lot of deer. Occasionally we don't get a lot, but you'll see an occasional bear or an occasional mountain lion, a lot of squirrels. it's kind of a hodgepodge, you know, from big to small.
You know, just a crazy thing. We have bear here in Florida, and a lot of people don't realize that.
What?
But we have black bears, and my wife was looking out our back. I got home late. This was about 10 days ago, got home late, and it was just before dusk. So the sun was starting to go down. It was getting a little darker, and we have this beautiful green belt behind us, and we have a big chain link fence that our neighborhood is bounded by. And Cindy, I'm sitting there eating because I got home late, and she's looking out, just kind of talking with me, but you know how your eyes will just be looking. All of a sudden, she is shocked. She goes, oh my goodness, look. And there is a bear right outside our backyard, walking by into the green belt. Yeah, we have them. Black bears are common in Florida. A lot of people don't realize that. So we have gators.
Wow.
We have you know, roaches that you could probably put a saddle on and ride if you wanted to.
Oh, gross.
It's true. But yeah, that happened here in good old Florida. So it's we have some out there too.
The hodgepodge too.
Yeah, It's the Wild West out here in the the nice sunny skies of Florida. Tara, tell me about podcasting. How long have you been doing this?
Yeah, so I got to look exactly. I think we're almost at my year mark. I need to look exactly at like when I posted it or when I started it, but I've been podcasting for a year now. It seems like longer, but it was something that since I've been on Instagram and writing on a blog and stuff for a while, people have been really asking for a long time. And for me, I kind of put it off a little bit over these 3 years of doing some online ministry because I'm like, it's just kind of logistically kind of hard. But once I kind of got all that under my belt, I realized like, man, like podcasting is my favorite. Like podcasting and writing and some other projects we have going on, it's just such a blessing. I love communicating. And so I think speaking is such a like way more fun for me. And just now that podcasts are so huge, it's amazing to be able to relay information, you know, listening to someone's voice. And I know how much I love podcasts. So it's been really cool to do that and so, so fun. So I can't believe it's been a year.
Do you do this just with your own voice and you, or do you have a guest on, or how does that work?
Yeah. So, you know, mainly starting out, it was mainly just me. And then over the last probably, I would say maybe 6 months or so, or maybe a little bit longer, I've been doing guests. So we have a guest on almost every week, which I personally really like having a guest on. When I listen to podcast episodes, it's really great to hear from, you know, an expert in some area or someone who has a personal testimony about a certain topic or passage. And so we've had some amazing guests on the show, some best-selling authors, some fellow podcasters of high-ranking podcasts. So our kind of mission behind the podcast is just to help women specifically, or whoever listens, to just three words, to know, love, and live God's word. So I just kind of have this passion for creating episodes that are lighthearted and fun and feel like you're sitting down with a friend at coffee, but are also helping you to know God's word, to understand it, to love it, to fall in love deeper with the Lord through explanation of his word, and then be able to take practical steps and actually live it out. So that's what we're aiming for.
I love that phrase, to know, love, and live God's word. And did you write that?
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, when I was crafting the mission statement or what I really wanted to focus on, that's kind of, yeah, I mean, I'm sure someone else has said it before, but that's kind of what I've coined for that. And also kind of what the ministry, the Instagram, the blog, other writing opportunities has really kind of started circling around, because I think that's kind of the foundation of that. And I love getting to teach God's word. So.
Well, I tell you, there's a lot of young people who are involved in listening to podcasts, and a lot of them are doing their own podcasts, and it is becoming, I think, an even more so now, critical way that a lot of young people are getting information, listening to opinions. The whole world of communication is changing, and you guys have your age when you now get to where I am, you'll look back and you realize that you were given a gift of technology that is just truly amazing. Mm. How the word can go forward in so many ways that it wasn't even ever conceived when I would have been your age.
Yeah. Oh, it's such a blessing to be able to use it. Like, you know, it can be kind of a frustrating or sometimes depressing place for people to be online, because there are a lot of voices and there's a lot of bad news and there's a lot of drama, but I really believe that we have a unique opportunity to make a choice of how we use social media. And even you using radio, using your podcast, using a lot of other things, we can use anything for the Lord. We can use it and kind of spin it in a great way. So I'm really thankful for that.
Well, a lot of people are listening to podcasts in unprecedented ways right now. How many do you think you listen to on a regular basis?
Oh gosh, you know, for me, it's been kind of this weird season. I haven't listened to a ton. I'm subscribed to a ton, but I would probably say I'm listening to, like, on rotation, probably 10 or maybe a few, like maybe a few less, but and they're pretty meaty podcasts, but I would say 10. There's a bunch more I'm subscribed to, but yeah, quite a few.
That's great. One of the podcasts I love, and anyone who loves the Word of God, I believe, should check out The Briefing by Albert Mohler. And it's one that I listen to every morning, and it's great. But it's wonderful, isn't it, to have these kind of technologies available at no charge, and you don't have to waste your day watching television. If you want to learn something, this is the way to do it, and to find the ones that really are full of truth, full of that. And I love the name of yours, Truth Talks. That is pretty cool, too. Truth Talks, I mean, you can, depending on where you put the emphasis, truth does talk and you have Truth Talks. So, I mean, either way, it works, and you're doing it. And that's really great. I commend you for doing it.
Aww.
Now, do you stay in the lane of women's ministry issues, or do you go beyond that?
You know, as far as when you say women's ministry issues, we do. I'm just trying to think. We've had a lot of topics on the podcast and just in the ministry in general on, you know, a little bit of marriage, a little bit of dating. So that was more women's ministry focused. We've had some on comparison, on friendship, on how to study the Word of God, how to apply the Word of God. We've had one on just prioritizing the Lord over everything. I'm just trying to think of some of the recent ones we've had. So there are a lot of ones that are applicable to women, but I would also just say that, you know, my dad listens to my podcast, such a sweet, sweet supporter. But he's like, I know your main audience isn't men. He said, but I really feel like a lot of this is applicable as well. So I think that's great. We really like to pull, you know, topics that we deal with and struggle with as women, but also just, I really think it can be for anyone because we're digging into scriptures that apply to us all. So,
mm-hmm. What's your current scripture that you're really kind of like feeding on in your own walk with God right now? What passage or study have you been going through?
Yeah, no, I love that. You know, a couple, I'm trying to think, there's a few, but the one that has always stood out to me and has been very evident through some projects that I'm working on actually is just the passage in Luke 9:23. It's just really that whole section, but Luke 9:23 about, you know, dying to ourselves, laying down our lives, denying ourselves and following the Lord, picking up our crosses. And that is, I believe, the heartbeat of the Christian walk and something that is really hard. Themes that have been in my life, I have been releasing control, surrendering, deferring to the Lord, trusting the Lord, because I think we live in a society, I think it's even more heightened right now, a society that aches for control and wants to be the master of our lives, when in reality, as a Christian, it's super counterculture. We're actually called to die to ourselves, to deny ourselves, which means to release our personal control and our personal desires and defer to the Lord, not because we don't have good ideas, but because the Lord is our creator and he has literally everything planned out better than we could have ever imagined. And so that's something that has been on my heart for a really long time. And something that's also been hard for me because I'm very much a planner. I'm very much type A, and I've struggled with relinquishing that control over the Lord. So that's something that has influenced my walk with the Lord. It's a huge challenge, but it's been really on my heart.
You know, I think of the Bible verse that says, if you're going to follow the Lord, you'll pick up your cross, deny yourself. And that process that you're describing right there, self-denial, and really putting aside what you want to do in favor of what God wants us to do, I don't think that's going to be just something that is limited to your age group. It's going to be something that every person listening, regardless of your age, it's a challenge to put that into practice, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, we all have things, like you said, regardless of our age, that we have to relinquish control over: relationships, family, work, even just things going on in our world right now. And whether or not you're a big personality or whether or not you're type A, we all as human beings, I believe just in my study, that this desire for personal control comes from the garden. It comes from the beginning of time when Adam and Eve, their human nature began to kind of just wiggle out and say, oh, I want to be like God. I want to have control. I want to have all the knowledge. And so it's not a new problem, you know?
Mm-hmm. My goodness, these are issues that everyone is facing, not just the ladies that you would reach out in your women's ministry, but this is something, again, that every one of us are needing to deal with. And now, those are good words to remember. I think often, too, with that from the book of James chapter 4, and he makes it very clear there that what we want can actually lead us to murder even. I mean, that is, if we don't get the desires of our heart, and that's what self-denial, that's what denying oneself is all about. You're not getting what you want. And when you don't get what you want, sometimes people react in the worst of ways.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And so it's a daily thing. You know, it's been something on my heart for a long time, but man, I haven't nailed it. None of us will. It's just that journey of God taking us on that journey of sanctifying us and kind of just renewing our minds and changing our priorities, you know?
I agree with you completely. And I wish you the best as you continue to help other ladies point to that very need. I do pray that you'll just have great success doing that. I also know you know Michaela Van Dyke. She was on my show recently. And I understand that you're going to be part of the Chasing Sacred event that's coming up.
Yeah, I'm super excited. Michaela has become one of my favorite friends of the last year. We've really connected because of our love for the Lord, and she's just amazing in general. But yeah, so I'm going to be a speaker at the Christian Ministry Conference in New Hampshire in person, October 1st through 2nd. And we're going to be speaking on theology and also just how that coincides with ministry, because Michaela's heart and then also my heart and the other speakers are that we have a really big responsibility as people in ministry, whether you have a podcast, whether you are writing, whether you want to write a book, or whether you just want to do this but haven't started and you want to start, there's this big responsibility to be good stewards of the word and to understand God's word. So I'm really excited because I think it's a really unique opportunity and conference. So I'm really excited also just to get back in person with people. It's going to be great.
How did you meet her?
We just met through Instagram and through online. I think I'm really trying to remember. I think we just followed each other. I loved what she was doing. I think we share a similar bent for teaching the word and theology and stuff. I just think, honestly, we crossed paths on Instagram, which is a great place to meet other people.
That is a crazy thing, isn't it? That one can meet what becomes a good friend right from Instagram.
I know. Yeah, it's awesome.
Who'd have thunk it? My guest today is Tara Sun, and we're going to be back with her for one more segment. Coming up in just a moment, don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike on the Shepherd Radio Network. Back on the line with me is Tara Sun. Tara is from Oregon, and I've really enjoyed listening to your description of that area. It is a glorious place to visit. My wife and I visited out there a couple of times. I think she's been out four times back when my daughter lived out there, and we drove all around and got to see the beautiful countryside that you get to see every day. And we're so glad, though, that you're going to get to now be a part, at least virtually, through the Sunshine State, and we're glad to have you on the program here today. I understand, Tara, that you married your high school sweetheart. Now, tell me about that one.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're newlyweds, very fresh newlyweds. We've been married for a little over 6 months now. So Michael and I, my husband, we started dating when we were 17, I think. So just getting into senior year of high school, end of junior year into senior year of high school. And it was something that I don't think that we both ever thought we would date that young. I'm not saying it's a young age to date, but for us, it seemed a little young. And so we were surprised by the Lord's timing, but we dated for quite a few years. Not because we weren't excited to get married or didn't want to get married, but you know, you're so young and you're trying to figure out that time. Michael is very much an amazing provider and has that a desire, you know, to provide for a family. And so we dated for a while and then got engaged last year and had a very short engagement, which I am so thankful for.
A long dating period and a short engagement. There you go.
Oh, yes. I mean, you know, even if you don't date that long, I'm like, just don't have a long engagement. My dad always told me, he's like, have a 6 month engagement. He's like, you don't need anything more. My parents had a longer engagement due to other circumstances, and they're just like, it was hard. So
I agree. I have talked to a lot of people, even as a pastor, when I was would be talking to couples. There are many of them won over a year's engagement. And I'm thinking, what in the world are you thinking?
I know. It's so hard. So now I'm telling all my friends, I'm like, don't do it. I said, you know, you can plan an amazing wedding. You don't need extra time. And I mean, also just to get really sappy, it's just, you don't, I mean, now that I've been married, even though it hasn't been that long, I'm like, why would you want to wait? It's just so amazing. Get into it as soon as you can. But we kind of had a crazy little hand dealt us, but we got engaged end of August last year. So a little over a year ago, and we planned a wedding through this pandemic. We planned a wedding through in Oregon over here. We had the crazy wildfires, and that kind of kicked us out of my parents' home for a week. We had that. We had venues that we booked that actually told us that, you know, that they weren't 100% sure they could actually have us there. So we had to change venues. We had to change honeymoon locations. We had an ice storm a week before our wedding in February, which knocked out power for 10 days. Mm. We weren't sure if our venue was going to have power, which it was just a crazy time. So many things I can tell you that, you know, quote unquote went wrong, but still so thankful that we got married and the Lord provided immeasurably more, like they say in Ephesians 3, like he always does. But the wedding was more beautiful and more special than we could have ever imagined. And I'm thankful we just moved ahead with it.
Yeah, you had to persevere, it sounds like. And you're right. Any event that happened during the pandemic is going to be looked back at as, wow, it is amazing that we got to have any events at all. I know musicians were greatly affected. Live music venues were just all but shut down. Not only during the lockdown time, the odd thing is that we were all told in the beginning that this was going to be a 2-week period. And I think people back then, can you imagine? We all thought 2 weeks, holy cow, to have our lives tampered with and shut down for 2 weeks. You've got to be kidding me. How are businesses?
I know.
And now here we go. It's going on 2 years. It feels, you know, it's nuts. And
crazy.
Yeah, these are crazy times. And I'm grateful for one. I'm grateful to be a believer because I don't know what people who aren't believers, they don't have the source of hope, the only source of hope there really is. They can't fight this time. And yet they're needing to. So on this subject, how do you see your peers, the ladies that you minister to through your ministry? How do you see them responding right now to some of these later things that are going on with the pandemic, the Delta variant, and now the vaccine talk that's daily?
Right.
It's just everywhere. How are they dealing with that?
You know, honestly, it's really interesting you brought that up because I was just kind of checking in on people and asking them, you know, what they really needed, not necessarily from me, but from the Lord the other day on my Instagram stories. And a lot of them, their responses were just that they're overwhelmed, they're tired, and the world is loud, basically, which I can agree wholeheartedly with that. The news, not even just the news, but the world around us, our peers, our family members, there's opinions flying everywhere. There's these hot topic things, and it's not necessarily, I believe, about a pandemic, about this virus or COVID variant, whatever. I don't think it's necessarily about that anymore. And it's turned into a lot of personal and political stuff, which is, it's heavy, and people are overwhelmed. People are confused. And, you know, what I'm seeing, too, a lot, and which makes me really sad, is there's a lot of division. And I'm sure you've seen that, too, but there's so much division between family members, between churches, between just individuals across the street. And there's a lot of different opinions. And I think we've forgotten that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities and rulers and the evil of this world. And so I hate to say it because, I mean, I know the enemy doesn't win. He doesn't have the final victory. But I hate to say the enemy is getting a lot of strongholds right now because people are going after each other instead of remembering what war we really should be waging right now and how we should really be armoring up against the enemy, you know?
Well, I tell you, you're really preaching it. This is something that we all need to realize is that there is an enemy that wants to defeat us, wants to destroy us, wants to discourage us. And oftentimes, that's one of the greatest ways, I believe, for the enemy to come in is to bring discouragement and to really take away the hope of the people. Because if they are, if their eyes aren't on the Lord, if their eyes are only horizontal, looking to the left or to the right, it's easy. Mm-hmm. It would be very easy right now to become just overwhelmed with all of this. We've got to stay, got to stay in the flow of the truth of God. And the truth is that He is sovereign, and He is not less sovereign than what we're seeing on this COVID front. But I do believe, I do think there is a reality of what you're talking about. I've called it COVID fatigue in some of my interviews with people. I think there is a fatigue that is setting in on a lot of people. It's setting in a lot of young people. We're just tired of hearing about it all. And it's exacerbated when you have friends that are maybe even fighting situations of death in their family members because of COVID. And so this fatigue is there, isn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, so it's easy to become discouraged, and it's easy to succumb to this. And, you know, what I was just encouraging myself and just encouraging others were just a few things. I keep thinking one of my favorite Psalms is Psalm 61. And within the first couple of verses, David says, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Mm-hmm. And David knows that that there's going to be times of overwhelm in his life. There's going to be circumstances, and David went through it. But he knew that one, he needed a rock, meaning a place of stability and security, something that was strong enough to withstand the crashing waves or sudden attacks. And he also knew that he needed a rock, that place of stability that was higher than himself, that was wiser and stronger than himself. And he knew that he needed God to lead him, that he couldn't get there on his own. And so I just have been encouraging people to remember that the Lord alone is our safe place, and that He, like you said, is sovereign. But then also to remember that we need to filter everything we see and we read and we hear on the news through our peers, through our families, through the government, through the Word of God. Like, it's like, you know, people are saying that it's really loud and it's confusing. And I'm like, well, you know, God has given us literally everything we need for this life. Like 2 Peter 1:3 says that He's given us everything we need for life and godliness. And so we have the Word of God like right here. And so we have this amazing, I don't want to call it a tool because it's more than a tool, but just for the sake of this point, God has given us the tool of the Word to be able to discern and be transformed, like Romans 12 says. And so that's an amazing spot to be, because a lot of people are like, well, what does this vaccine have to do with my relationship with the Lord? What does, you know, the government's mandates have to do with this? What is, you know, all these questions. And I'm like, okay, it may not say it specifically. It may not have the word pandemic or vaccine in the word, but we have the wisdom and the steps that we can take to make these decisions through God's word. And so I think if anything, we need to be staying on it, you know, as our foundation and our baseline more than ever.
I agree with you. And that is a beautiful psalm that you mentioned. Another one that comes to my mind is Psalm 40, where it talks about, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and He heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog." Another translation calls it clay, the miry clay. "And He set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord." And I think that's a powerful promise right there.
That's beautiful. Yeah. No, I mean, there's so many things that David really hit on the head, and it's so comforting for us, you know? And so I think more than anything I've learned is that, you know, the Lord will reveal Himself in any of these situations. We just need to be in fellowship with Him. And I think it gets confusing. I've personally, if I'm being honest, have had situations during these past couple of years, like we all have, that, you know, I haven't been as diligent with my time with the Lord. And then I notice that the world's louder. It's more confusing. It's more frustrating. I'm like, I think it's because I haven't been spending time with the Lord, who gives me clarity and direction, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that time is so important for us all. We really have to do that. And, you know, there was an old joke that was out. It was an expression, and it was a different way to spell the word week. But it said, 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. but it was not, it was spelled W-E-A-K. And that is exactly the truth. If we are not praying, if we're not seeking the Lord, and that's why I love this whole thing that you're going to be doing when you're at that conference in New Hampshire, is an emphasis on the Word of God and praying to God and how that makes us have strength in our life to be able to deal with the things that we're all having to deal with.
Absolutely. Yeah, you nailed it. That's so right.
There's nothing like the Word of God to deal with COVID fatigue, and that's what we need. Hey, tell us your website information. How can people get in touch with you, and how can they listen to your podcast?
Yeah, no, thanks so much for letting me share that. I love to connect with people online. It's, like we said earlier, it's been an amazing tool. So a couple ways you can connect with me. One is on my website. It's Tara Sun Ministries, S-U-N, like the sun in the sky. It's actually my middle name, fun fact. But you can go to my website and find blog posts. You can find resource page where I recommend Bibles and commentaries. So it's a cool little hub there. You can also, if you're on Instagram, which everyone seems to be on Instagram, you can find me over there at Miss Tara Sun, M-I-S-S-T-A-R-A-S-U-N. Come hang out with me over there. Also, both of these places, Instagram and my site, are good places to find the podcast as well. But if you're a podcast listener, I would love to have you subscribe. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, literally anywhere, you can find me at Truth Talks with Tara. We have an episode each Wednesday with an amazing guest, and we talk about, you know, about God's Word. So I would love to have you guys join me over there. If you join, send me a message, say, hey, I'd love to connect.
Well, it's been great connecting with you today on my program, Tara, and we wish you the very best, not only at this conference, but in your podcast and in your ministry and with your newlywed husband. Congratulations to you.
Aww.
And continue to enjoy that beautiful Oregon landscape.
Thank you so much. It's been a blessing. I'm humbled that you'd have me on today, and just really touched by your ministry. This has been a blessing. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And think of us when you have that next cup of coffee.
Will do.
Okay. Tara Sun, my guest today on Afternoons with Mike. And friends, thanks for joining with us. We'll catch you next time right here on The Shepherd.